سخنران امشب جلسه تهران ای که جلسه رسمی ثبت شده دفتر خدمات جهانی وزیر نظر ناحیه 15 الکلی‌های گمنام در تهران است. خانم پتی از امریکا با 39 سال هوشیاری با موضوع تجربه و داستان شخصیشون و مترجمشون هم خانم ریحان هستند. ضمناً جلسه امشب در سایت تهران ای دات آجی ذخیره خواهد شد. خانم ریحان بفرمایید، جلسه اختیار شما.
مرسی. سلام دوستان، ریحان هستم، یه الکلی، امشب در خدمت شما. پتی، we can begin now.
Okay. Hi, my name is Patty. I'm an alcoholic. And I want to thank Michael. Hi there, everyone. I want to thank Michael for asking me to speak today. It really is an honor and a privilege to be asked to speak at a meeting of Alcoholics Anonymous. And I want to thank Rehan for translating today.
Sure. Thank you. اسم من پتی هست، یه الکلی هستم. در ابتدا میخوام تشکر کنم از آقا مهدی که دعوتم کردن و باعث افتخار منه که بتونم امشب برای شما صحبت کنم. Okay, so go on.
Okay. And I just realized I looked at my, world clock on my phone. It's 9 o'clock at night there, right?
Yeah, it is. Okay. 9 p.m. Yeah.
Well, thank you for staying. Well, to me, that would be staying up. Let's see. I like to follow the format of what it was like, what happened, and what it's like now. So I was born in Los Angeles, and I'm one of four children. And until I was 7 years old, my childhood was really fantastic.
7 years old?
Seven. Until I was 7 years old.
Okay.
And then what happened was, is my father had been ill and he died of his illness and my family fell apart. And my mother, I think she obviously was always an alcoholic. We have alcoholics in my family. So mm-hmm. she just, went to bed and started drinking and became very abusive and cruel.
Okay. در ابتدا گفتن که چه من چک کردم ساعت رو و دیدم اونجا ساعت 9 شبه. واسه من تا این ساعت انگار که یعنی باید با تلاش کنم بیدار بمونم و از همه شما تشکر میکنم که هستید. بعد از دوران کودکیشون شروع میکنن، میگن که من توی لس آنجلس به دنیا اومدم، یکی از چهار بچه خانواده بودم. تا 7 سالگی میتونم بگم زندگیم فوق‌العاده بود، عالی بود، اما پدرم بیمار شد و از بیماری فوت کرد و بعد از اون خانواده ما از هم پاشید. مادرم که خب همیشه میشه گفت که خب الکلی بود و از خانواده ما، تو خانوادهمون بیماری الکلیسم وجود داشته و مامانم شروع کرد دیگه توی تخت موندن و مشروب خوردن و خیلی رفتارش خشن شده بود. Alright.
Okay. So if you have an alcoholic parent, it's very difficult to navigate. And it's very scary. You never know what's going to happen. And I vowed that I would never be like my mother. So I didn't start. So my childhood after my father died was very, very, very difficult. But on the outside, people didn't really. We looked like we were fine. We would leave the house. We had good manners. We did well in school. So what was going on the inside of the house was, I used to call it the reign of terror. I mean, I was terrorized all the time until I left home. at the age of 16. So,
okay, so let me translate this bit. Sorry.
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, sorry. خب کسایی که یک والد الکلی داشتن میدونن که برای بچه هایی که توی اینطور خانواده ها به دنیا اومدن و زندگی میکنن جهتیابی و راهیابی خیلی سخته. هیچ وقت نمیدونن قراره چه اتفاقی بیفته و کلن خیلی ترسناک زندگی. و من به خودم قول داده بودم که هرگز مثل مادرم نشم. بعد از فوت پدرم زندگی میتونم بگم خیلی سخت شده بود و به نظر میرسید که البته به نظر میرسید از بیرون که زندگیمون اوکیه، خوبه، چون ما رفتار خوبی داشتیم با دیگران در بیرون از خونه، توی مدرسه خوب بودیم، اما توی خونه چیزی که میتونم توصیف کنم، کلمه‌ای که میتونم به کار ببرم، وحشته. ما توی خونه دائما در وحشت زندگی میکردیم. Okay, Patty, sorry to interrupt you.
No, please do. So I didn't really start drinking until I went to college. And when I started drinking in college, it was immediate a relief. Mm-hmm. I felt like I fit in, even though on the outside it looked like I fit in, but I didn't feel deep down inside that I just always felt less than, even though on the outside, if you looked at my report cards and, you know, work and everything, I always kind of was very good at covering up. But deep down inside, I really felt I had such low self-esteem that when I took a drink, it relieved me of, but basically it was the bondage of self, honestly. It relieved me of the bondage of self. And I was able to interact with people what I would call normally, even though, you know, obviously I was drunk. And once I started drinking, I really never stopped. I never stopped until maybe I passed out. And I, but that...
I can so relate.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, all right. Do you want me to stop and you translate?
Yeah. Please. Okay. Yes. من تقریبا تا وقتی که وارد کالج شدم مشروب نمی‌خوردم، اما از وقتی که وارد کالج شدم شروع کردم مشروب خوردن و حسی که مشروب خوردن به من داد حس رها شدن فوری، یک حس رهایی فوری به هم داد، یعنی سریع. و من شاید از بیرون به نظر می رسید که مثلا آدم اوکی هستم، چون کارنامم یا کارهای کلاسیم همیشه خیلی خوب بود، توی پوشش دادن خیلی خوب بودم، توی تظاهر کردن خوب بودم، اما درونم خیلی احساس حقارت می کردم، عزت نفس خیلی پایینی داشتم و مشروب باعث شد که میشه گفت یه جورایی که منو از اسارت نفسم رها میکرد و باعث میشد کمکم میکرد بتونم با دیگران معاشرت کنم، به صورت عادی راحت باشم و منو از اون حس حقارت و کمتر بودن از دیگران رها میکرد. Okay, Patty.
Okay, so what alcohol did for me, it enabled me to move through my life. Kind of evening me out, made me feel that I was okay, even though deep down inside I knew I wasn't. And I was able to accomplish a lot in my work life. My mm-hmm. home life was not that great. I was married and divorced by the time I was 27 years old. I had married mm-hmm. twice, divorced twice. I always drank, but the more successful I got, the more I drank. And it started out where, I mean, you know, I would drink on the weekends with my friends and we would all get drunk. And so there was kind of a cover up of the way I drank, but I always blacked out. But I, you know, we all laughed about it. But then I would get up and go.
الکل به من کمک میکرد که چون بهتون گفتم من از بچگی این احساسو داشتم بعد از فوت پدرم که نمیتونستم راهو تو زندگی پیدا کنم، نمیدونستم باید چی کار کنم. الکل به منو قادر کرد که بتونم جهتیابی کنم و تو زندگیم جلو برم. بهم کمک کرد، باعث میشد که احساس کنم اوکیم، اگرچه در درونم عمق وجودم میدونستم اینطور نیست. و حتی کمکم کرد که دستاوردهای زیادی توی زندگی حرفه‌ایم به دست بیارم، اگرچه توی زندگی شخصیم موفق نبودم. من تا وقتی که 27 سالم بود شد دوبار ازدواج و طلاق ازدواج کرده بودم و طلاق گرفته بودم. اینجوری بود که انگار هرچی موفق تر می شدم بیشتر مشروب می خوردم. اوایل مثلا اینطور بود که آخر هفته ها فقط می خوردم، یعنی که فقط با دوستان مشروب میخوردم، مست میکردیم و خب به نظر میومد که خب داریم خوش میگذرونیم. اگرچه برای من اینجوری بود که من همیشه بلک آوت میکردم، یعنی که سیاه مست میشدم و از خوش میرفتم. اوکی پتی.
Yeah. So that pattern continued for many years. From, you know, I really started drinking when I was 18 years old, and I got sober when I was 37. So the pattern, that pattern of working, accomplishing things, drinking, then I started drinking every night and to go to sleep, and always drank on the weekends, always drank to get. You know, my ideal state is almost comatose. I mean, that's how I drank. I wanted to be almost dead. That's how I felt. And if I got almost, you know, almost to where I would pass out, that was my favorite place to be. And over a period of time, I accomplished, like I said, a lot, but what happened was, you know, eventually it really catches up with you, and you're not in your 20s anymore, and it's not cute to be passed out at some party at a client's house. So I was very aware of my behavior, but I couldn't stop drinking. And when I was 33 years old, I was introduced to cocaine. And I know that this is an Alcoholics Anonymous meeting, but the cocaine enabled me to drink more. It's not that I really liked it, but I could drink more. And my husband, my third husband, introduced me to cocaine. And he was a very successful person too. And over from the age of 33 to 37, we both drank and used and destroyed our careers.
Up to what age?
Until I was 37. So it was a 4-year period.
Yeah.
Where the drinking escalated to the point where at the end,
okay.
I
right,
couldn't.
So
yeah,
may
go
I
ahead.
Talk like this? Yeah. خب این الگوی مشروبخواری من سالها ادامه پیدا کرد. من از 18 سالگی شروع کردم مشروب خوردن و وقتی که هوشیار شدم 37 ساله بودم. توی مدت من کار کردم، دستاوردهای زیادی داشتم، ولی مشروب خوریم تبدیل شد به یه کار هر شبه. مشروب میخوردم که بتونم بخوابم، یعنی که مشروب همیشه آخر هفته ها مشروب بود. دوست داشتم، میخواستم که همیشه مست باشم. این حالت حالتی بود که من توش راحت بودم و حال مورد علاقه من بود. من چیزای زیادی به دست آوردم، اما به تدریج که سنم خب بالاتر میرفت متوجه میشدم که خب دیگه چندان فان نیست، چندان بامزه نیست که خونه یکی سیاه مست بکنی و حالا روز بعد ندونی چی کار کردی. اما خب نمیتونستم مشروب خوردن رو متوقف کنم. من 32 ساله که بودم توسط شوهر سومم به هم کوکائین رو معرفی کرد. اونم خیلی آدم و موفقی بود از نظر شغلی و حرفه‌ای و من بعد از آشنایی با اون شروع کردم به کوکائین مصرف کردم و در واقع کوکائین به من کمک میکرد که مشروب بیشتر بخورم. به خاطر این من کوکائین رو مصرف میکردم. و توی این دوره 4 ساله، یعنی از 32 سالگی تا 37 سالگی، یک دوره بود که من زندگیم خیلی سقوط کرده به قعر رفتم. اوکی پتی.
Okay, so I was at the point where I couldn't get drunk, I couldn't get sober, and so I surrendered to the fact that I was probably going to die. And I figured I would die by the time I was 40 years old. And so that was a surrender. But I remember about 3 months before I actually got sober, I said a prayer and I just said, well, what I did was I tried to commit suicide. I had a bunch of pills. I took as many pills as I could. Now, at this point, my husband had gotten sober. He had gotten sober in September. I got sober in February, and he had gotten sober. But I had pills and alcohol, and I took a bunch of pills, and I remember saying to God, you know, if I don't wake up, that's okay with me. So that's where my drinking got to. I knew I was going to die, and I was just trying to escalate the process. And obviously I woke up. And so
let me translate that.
Yeah.
Sorry. Yeah. خب من به جایی رسیده بودم که نه میتونستم مشروب نخورم، نه میتونستم بخورم. میدونستم که رو به مرگ دارم میرم. میدونستم قبل از اینکه 40 سالم بشه خواهم مرد. و یه جورایی این یک حالت تسلیمی بود که من دیگه بهش رسیده بودم، به این حالت تسلیم. چون هیچ کاری نمیتونستم بکنم. اتفاقی که افتاد در اون زمان، شوهر من هوشیار شده بود. اون تو ماه سپتامبر مثلا هوشیار شده بود و من 3 ماه بعدش توی ماه فوریه هوشیار شدم. اما خب من توی اون 3 ماه خیلی حالم بد بود و یادم میاد که یه شب میخواستم خودکشی کنم و قرص هایی که داشتم رو همراه با الکل برداشتم و تو با خودم با خدا صحبت کردم و گفتم که هیچ مشکلی نیست، اگه بمیرم من اوکیم. به اون حد رسیده بودم، میدونستم که میمیرم به هر حال، بنابراین میخواستم این روند رو یه جورای تسریعش کنم، یه جور سرعت ببخشم. اوکی پتی.
اوکی سو سو آی دید ویک اپ اوبویسلی اند سو That was in November, and my husband was sober, and the reason why he was sober is because he was facing, like I said, we had destroyed our careers. He was facing 165 counts of grand theft for embezzling money from his clients, and so his lawyer told him to get sober. And anyway, I knew a couple of people. By this time, I was basically unemployable in my profession, and I did have a job that was, I felt, in a completely different profession that was kind of like a clerk, and I had been an executive. And anyway, started drinking at work from November to February, and I ended up calling a friend of mine saying, I didn't say I thought I had a drinking problem. I did not think I was an alcoholic, because I did not want to be like my mother. I thought I was just mentally ill, but I called a friend that it was a member of Alcoholics Anonymous. And she said, well, meet me at a meeting. And I had no idea, you know, what the whole thing was. And so I did meet her at a meeting. And that was in January, 2 weeks before I actually got sober. I went to the meeting and I didn't know what was going on. And again, I didn't think I was an alcoholic. I thought I was just hopeless and mentally ill. And so, go ahead.
Okay, thank you. خب من اون شب وقتی که قرصا رو خوردم و من همراه با الکل، خب فکر میکردم که میمیرم، اما خب نمردم و صبح روز بعد بیدار شدم. این توی ماه نوامبر این اتفاق افتاد و اون زمان همجور که بهتون گفتم شوهرم هوشیار شده بود و دلیل اینکه هوشیار شده بود به خاطر این بود که توی حرفش، البته ما هر دوتامون حرفهامون رو با مشروب خوری زیادمون نابود کرده بودیم، اما توی اون زمان شوهرم متهم شده بود به سرقت از یکی از مشتریاش و وکیلش توصیه کرده بود که هوشیار باشه و منم دیگه قابل استخدام شدن نبودم. کار داشتم اما از کارهای قبلیم خیلی پایین تر بود و سر کارم مشروب میخوردم و اوضاعم خیلی خراب بود. زنگ زدم به یه دوستی، چون من اون زمان اصلا فکر نمی کردم الکلی باشم. من انقدر با این فکر می جنگیدم چون نمی خواستم مثل مادرم باشم و اصلا تصورم این نبود که الکلیم. فکر می کردم یا دیوونم یا اینکه از نظر روانی مشکل دارم. و اون دوستم عضو AA بود، البته من نمی دونستم و بهش گفتم که نمیدونم چیکار کنم و اون بهم گفتش که بیا جلسه، من اونجا میبینمت. من رفتم اونجا و اصلا نمیدونستم که چه خبره، جریان چیه، هیچی نمیدونستم و اینکه خودم هم اصلا نمیدونستم که قبول نداشتم که الکلی هستم. اوکی پاتی.
Okay, so again, by this time I ruined my career that I loved. My husband was gonna go to prison. I had I wasn't answering the phone. The only person I talked to was my sister, who was concerned about me. And so that after that first AA meeting, a few weeks later, on February 5th, 1984, I walked into a meeting of Alcoholics Anonymous because I had not come home that night. My intention was I had been at work. I went to a bar. I started drinking and I never came. I didn't come home. And I, at the first AA meeting, the woman that I knew gave me a meeting directory and she circled some meetings. And so when I didn't come home on February 5th, I thought, well, I get the heat off at home and just go to a meeting. So I walked into Michael Ohio Street, Sunday Noon, Ohio, which I still go to, and crying, bloated, hungover, and totally not surrendered. But just my intention was when I got home, I could tell my husband that I had been at a meeting of Alcoholics Anonymous, I don't know, for 24 hours. I don't know. But, you know, I figured he would be relieved that I was alive. Let's put it that way. There had been other, you know, I had disappeared for hours at a time before that. And he was, anyway. So that's why I went to the meeting. I mean, I went to the meeting to get the heat off at home. And for some reason, I was desperate enough. Okay, so I called the woman that I had called earlier, and she said, well, meet me at a meeting tomorrow. And so I did, and that started my journey. And a couple of things I just want to say about my journey. One, I was...
Okay. Before you say that, yeah, okay.
Okay.
برای خب گفتم که مشروب خوری من باعث شده بود که شغلم نابود بشه، زندگی حرفه‌ایم نابود بشه، شوهرم داشت میرفت زندان، اصلا به تلفن‌ها جواب نمیدادم، فقط با خواهرم صحبت میکردم، با یکی از خواهرام، چون اون نگران من بود. چند هفته بعد یه جلسه رفتم، ولی خب دلیل این که جلسه رفتم این بود که من قبلش رفته بودم بار و خونه نرفته بودم و با این فکر کردم که خب حالا به جای اینکه برم خونه برم جلسه. و 5 فوریه بود، 5 ماه فوریه بود و یه خانومی قبلا به من آدرس جلسات رو داده بود و من به اون جلسه زنگ زدم، رفتم به اون جلسه و اون جلسه جلسه ظهر یک شنبه های اوهایو هست که گویا آقای آمهدی هم میشناسن، و میگه با حالت گریون مست و خیلی داغون رفتم به اون جلسه و اصلا هم حالت تسلیم نداشتم، نبودم، مثلا فکر نمی کردم که مشکلم الکل باشه و به خاطر اینم رفتم جلسه، چون میخواستم مثلا بعدش، حالا رفت چون من شب قبل خونه نرفته بودم و حالا برم خونه، برم به شوهرم بگم که رفته بودم جلسه. اما خب به دلایلی اینقدر به 30 سال رسیده بودم که توی اون جلسه رفتم موندم و اون خانمی هم که یک خانمی هم اونجا شماره ازم گرفت، باهاش تماس گرفتم و به هم گفتش که بیا جلسه فردا و اینجوری شد که سفر من شروع شد. و حالا میخوام یه چند تا مورد رو با یه چند تا نکته رو براتون بگم که اوکی پتی.
So that started my journey, but I will say when I got home, my sister and my husband were on the front doorstep and I could see that something horribly wrong had happened. And what had happened is his father, had gotten a call that his father had died that day. And so that's really why I stayed sober the next day. I had to drive him down to south of where we live, about 2 hours away. And he had his kids with him too. And so that's why I stayed sober the second day. Mm-hmm. And then I called the woman and it started my journey. And there are a couple of things about what kept me here. What kept me here initially was I was a horrible people pleaser. So I always wanted to appear like knowledgeable and do what I think you want me to do. And so, but deep inside, I was cynical. And so when in our book where it says, rarely have we seen a person fail who has thoroughly followed our path, I thoroughly followed the path initially because I was a people pleaser. It's not that I thought that I was alcoholic. It's not that I thought this was going to work for me. I thought I was mentally ill. And the other thing deep down inside. So I did the people pleaser thing. And then in our appendix, I hate it when people read from the book, but I'm going to do it. I'm not a book thumper either, but in the appendix, this is the other thing that was going on with me. It said, there is a principle, which is a bar against all information, which is proof against all arguments and which cannot fail to keep a man in every everlasting ignorance. That principle is contempt prior to investigation. So what I was doing was following the path, thoroughly following the path, but deep it down inside, I had contempt prior to investigation. It was like, my sponsor would suggest something and deep down inside, I would say, no, I'm not going to do that. But I ended up doing it anyway because I didn't want her to reject me. You know, I had done that my whole life. I had been a people pleaser, a jealous person, very judgmental person. And so my first year of sobriety, I didn't really admit to my innermost self that I was alcoholic until I was about 9 months sober. But I kept on going to meetings, talking to my sponsor, helped out.
So let me translate that.
Yeah, I know that's a lot.
I just want to find the bit you read in the book.
Oh, no. I just say contempt prior to investigation is fine.
Okay. All right. Okay. Well, وقتی که من بعد از اون جلسه رسیدم به خونه، دیدم که خواهرم و شوهرم جلوی ورودی خونه وایساده و متوجه شدم که انگار یه اتفاق بدی افتاده و گویا پدر همسرشون فوت کرده بودن. و میگه که در دلیل اینکه من روز بعد هم هوشیار بودم به خاطر این بود، چون من باید با ماشین میبردمش، رانندگی میکردم تا مثلا جایی که محل خانواده ایشون بوده و به خاطر این هوشیار موندم. اما بعد زنگ زدم به اون خانوم که شماره بهم داده بود و خب اونجوری بود که سفر من شروع شد. اما من به طور کلی توی سال اولی که توی برنامه اومدم، من توی کتاب میگه که ما به ندرت کسی رو دیدیم که راه ما را به دنبال کنه و شکست بخوره. برای من اینجوری بود که من همه زندگیم یک وحش به طرز وحشتناکی آدم مهرطلبی بودم و آدمی بودم که میخواستم به نظر دانا بیاد، میخواستم مثلا کاری رو میکردم، کاری رو بکنم که فکر میکنم شما از من اونو میخواین. هیچ وقت همیشه دنبال این بودم که دیگران رو از خودم راضی کنم، اگرچه در درونم خیلی بدبین بودم به دیگران. اما من سال اول بیشتر برای این برنامه موندم، چون میخواستم خوب کار کنم برنامه رو و نمیخواستم طرد بشم، میخواستم که برنامه یعنی دیگران از من راضی باشن. و اینجوری بود که من به جلسات رفتم و ادامه دادم، اما در واقع توی ضمیر درونیم هنوز اقرار نکرده بودم که من الکلی هستم. اوکی پاتی.
Okay, so that's the way I came in. You know, people pleaser, judgmental, but I continued on and continued on. And then when I was 9 months sober, I did get we give each chips for 30, 60, 90 days, 9 months.
Yeah.
And when I was 9 months sober, I took my chip and this woman came up to me and she said, she said to me, you know, this is a really important piece item and I hope that you keep it very dear to you. It was my chip. Mm-hmm. And at that moment I realized maybe, you know, she was flattery. I felt like, okay, I'm how wonderful I am that I, you know, mm-hmm. I'm being acknowledged. Okay, I'm being acknowledged, so that's a little bit of ego there. But at the same time, I remember deep down inside, I said to myself that I was, to my innermost self, that I was alcoholic. So I stayed long enough to admit to my innermost self that I was alcoholic. And so I've been sober a long time, and there are many things that have happened, but when I was in my first year, I learned just about everything that I needed to learn in order to stay sober. And it's up to me to practice these principles in all our affairs. You know, it's up to me to make sure that I'm a good example of AA inside and out. In other words, I can't be a good example of Alcoholics Anonymous if I'm really just terribly angry inside. And that's why I have a sponsor. I have a sponsor that I trust and that I have shared things with that I would never share with anyone else. And
okay.
Go ahead.
Yeah. Barbara, این حالا این توصیفی که بر میکنم، من یه آدم مهرطلب، قضاوتگر و حسود آدمی بود که وارد AA شد و این همچنان ادامه داشت، این حس ها و رفتار ها. من وقتی که 9 ماه هوشیار بودم، خب چیپ میدادن، چیپ 3 ماهگی، 6 ماهگی، 9 ماهگی، و اونجا توی اون جلسه یه خانمی به هم گفتش که اومد به هم گفتش که تبریک میگم و این خیلی مهمه، امیدوارم که قدرش رو بدونی. خب من اون لحظه خوشحال شدم از اینکه دیده شدم، از اینکه مورد توجه قرار گرفتم، اما در این حال متوجه شدم در درونم که انگار واسه اولین بار متوجه شدم که واقعا الکلی هستم. مدت طولانی واسه من طول کشید تا این رو بفهمم، اما به هر حال من هوشیار موندم و من سالهای زیادی هست که خب هوشیار بودم. اما اگه بخوام بگم، من تو همون سال اول هر چرا که لازم هست برای هوشیار موندن رو یاد گرفتم و این دیگه به من بستگی داره که تا چند توی زندگیم رعایت کنم و تمرین کنم و بتونم مثال خوبی از AA باشم، از AA باشم، هم از هم در درونم و هم در بیرونم. چون من نمیتونم مثال خوبی باشم اگه در درونم پر از خشم و عصبانیت باشه. و دقیقا به خاطر همینه که من توی برنامه راهنما دارم و در مورد چیزهایی که لازم هست با راهنمام صحبت میکنم. اوکی پتی.
Okay, so these are the things that there's another thing that I learned was, half measures avail us nothing. And I remember having conversations with my sponsor, and she was very, very good with me, because if I would have had given direction another, she only suggested I do things. I was very, in other words, if someone gave me a direction and they said, well, you need to do this, I probably would not have stayed around. But she only suggested. So like I said before, my people pleasing, because it was just a suggestion, it was my decision whether I would follow that suggestion or not. And of course, I always did. So the other thing, though, is half measures avail you nothing. And I know I'm talking about very fundamental things, but those fundamental things have kept me sober a really long time and through a lot of ups and downs. So through my sobriety, things got really good. My husband did go to prison for 2.5 years, but he came out. I had left college. I went back to school. So I had a different profession. I became, a different profession. Things were going really well. And I was in school. I want to mention this. I was in school for 9.5 years. I worked
nine
and I went.
Years. Okay.
Yeah. 9.5 years. And because I worked. So
okay.
I worked. I went to school. And I like to mention that because at the very beginning, I don't think I would have ever gone back to school if it weren't for people in AA getting up and sharing the fact that they went back to school. And it took them a long time. And the whole thing about starting a journey is it just takes one step. And, we hear that a lot as it relates to Alcoholics Anonymous. But if you want to do something, you just have to take the first step. It could be the first phone call. It could be, well, for me, it was the first class. I took one class on the weekend. I was petrified. Petrified. And I went in the bathroom and prayed. And anyway, that one class led to, but it took me 9.5 years. And after 9.5 years, I had another profession. I mean, I'd been in that profession, but I had credentials. But what happened was when I was about 10 years sober, I was still in school at night. And I had also been,
I am a skeptic, I would miss out your sentences. So let me translate this bit.
Yeah.
Okay. خب یه چیز دیگه که من توی AA یاد گرفتم و به هم کمک کرده اینه که من در اون زمان خوشبختانه راهنمای خوبی داشتم و راهنمای من همیشه توی صحبت وقتی که صحبت میکرد انگار که پیشنهاد فقط میداد، چون اگه کسی به من میگفتش که باید این کار رو بکنی اون کار رو نکنی، فکر نمی کنم من توی ای ای میموندم. ولی خوشبختانه لحن راهنمام و پیشنهاداتش و به علاوه مهرطلبی من باعث شد که من کار کنم برنامه رو و توی برنامه بمونم. و چیز دیگه که توی کتاب برای ما میگه که بار کردن ما رو به هیچ نتیجه نمیرسونه و این رو من در طول سالها و سختی های بالا پایین های زیادی که زندگی داشته کاملا تجربه کردم. من زندگیم خب خیلی خوب شد بعد از اینکه وارد برنامه شدم. شوهر من 2.5 سال به خاطر اون سرقت زندان رفت، ولی بعد اومد بیرون و ما به زندگیمون ادامه دادیم. من خودم برگشتم کالج و برای درس خوندن و میخواستم که اصلا کلا حرفه و همه چی رو تغییر بدم و همه چی خیلی خوب پیش میرفت. اینم بگم که من کالجم 9.5 سال طول کشید، چون من همزمان کار هم میکردم و اگر من شروع کردم به کالج رفتن توی اون سن و در اون زمان، فقط به خاطر صحبت های کسانی بود که توی AA میگفتن که دوباره شروع کردن، دوباره دانشگاه و کالج رفتن و همه چیز از یک قدم شروع میشه، از قدم اول. هر کاری که بخواییم بکنی از همون قدم اول در واقع مهمه و اون از اونجا شروع میشه. و برای من این قدم اول رفتن به یک کلاس بود. من آخر هفته ها می رفتم و خیلی می ترسیدم. یادم رفتم دستشویی و اونجا دعا کردم و بعد می رفتم سر کلاس و 9.5 سال طول کشید و من کاملا دیگه حرفه و یه شغل کاملا متفاوت داشتم. Alright, Patty, so
yeah.
you said for 10 years.
Yeah, so at 10 years, I was still going to meetings. I was going to working, going to night school, but I still went to at least 2 meetings a week. But AA did not become my main priority. My main priority had become money, property, and prestige. In other words, school was going to enable me to redeem myself from the shame from losing my first profession. I was going to have some letters after my name, and I became depressed. And I realized within about a month of this depression what I was doing. And I realized that I had to go back to step one and say that I was powerless over the depression and my life had become unmanageable. Unmanageable meaning I had put myself before AA, basically. Money, property, and prestige make a lot of people go out because things get really good and you think, oh, I'm fine. But I know now that that's not the way it works. If you're an alcoholic, you're always an alcoholic. And we have a daily reprieve based on our spiritual condition. And that spiritual condition can be meditation daily. It can be being kind to people. It's living a spiritual life. In other words, a kind life. A life that models the Saint Francis prayer. I don't know if you have that or not. Yeah. And so I realized that, and I was very lucky that I figured that out very early on. And so at 10 years, I really changed my perspective on I would be successful. I mean, I was doing everything to be successful. So what was the hurry? And my life had been transformed. And I was basically turning my back on the power greater greater than myself that allowed me to have a life. And throughout my life, after that period of time, wonderful things happened and really tragic things happened. My husband died suddenly, and that was devastating. It took me about 7 years to recover from that and be a whole person again. And just recently, about a year and a half ago, I recovered from ovarian cancer, and that was very, very difficult. But all throughout that, this period of time, I've always known that AA is the one thing that's going to save me. And so I've never really walked away from AA. So, go ahead.
وقتی که 10 سال بود که هوشیار بودم خب من همچنان جلسه می رفتم. من اون زمان کار می کردم و شبا هم می رفتم کالج، هفته ای دوبارم جلسه می رفتم. اما یواش یواش توی 10 سال هوشیاری AA اون اولویت اول بودن زندگیم نبود. اولویت اولم شده بود پول، پرستیج و اموال. و کالج رفتن باعث شده بود که اون حس شرمی رو که من از دست دادن شغل اولم کنه. اما به هر حال این وابستگی به پول و پرستیژ و اینا باعث شده بود که من افسرده بشم. ولی خب خوشبختانه زود متوجه شدم دلیل افسردگیم چیه و متوجه شدم، برگشتم به صورت جدی دوباره به جلسات رفتن و متوجه شده بودم که من در برابر افسردگی هم قدرتی ندارم و زندگیم غیر قابل مدیریت بوده و همچنان هست و خواهد بود. من زندگیم ظاهرا خوب بود، همه چی داشت خوب پیش می رفت، اما خب خوشبختانه زود متوجه شدم که پول و پرستیج و این چیزا نمیتونه منو خوشحال نگه داره و برگشتم به خیلی جدی دوباره به برنامه. چون اگه یک الکلی باشی واقعا همیشه خواهی بود الکلی و ما در واقع فقط یک راه حل روزانه داریم که روزانه شرایط معنویمون رو باید یک کارهایی براش بکنیم. حالا این کارها میتونه مراقبه باشه یا مهربونی کردن با دیگران باشه. به صورت خلاصه میشه گفت یک زندگی پر از مهر، مثل اون دعای قدم 11 سان فرانسیس. و اینکه من توی 10 سالگی خوشبختانه به خاطر این بیماری افسردگی متوجه شدم که باید دیدگاهم تغییر کنه و زندگیم متحول شد. من توی این سالها بالا پایین خیلی زیاد داشتم، اتفاقات خیلی خوب افتاده و اتفاقات خیلی تراژیک و غمناکم رخ داده. من شوهرم فوت کرد و حدود 7 سال طول کشید تا من دوباره بتونم خودم رو پیدا کنم و 1.5 سال پیش هم بعد از درمان از یک سرطان بهبود پیدا کردم. اما در حین همه این اتفاقات همیشه می دونستم که AA هست و AA همیشه نجات دهنده من هست. اوکی پاتی.
So I don't have very much time left, but I just want, I know I spent a lot of time on my drinking and, you know, how I felt, but I think it's important for you all to know that I'm not the exception. You know, at the beginning, I was just thought I was different. And then I realized, after going to a lot of meetings, that I heard the similarities, and then I surrendered. And I urge everyone in this meeting to remember that there is a power greater than yourself, and it could be the people in the meeting. In other words, it's not you. Don't make yourself your higher power, even though you've done it probably most of your life, like I did. This is the only place where I've found peace of mind, and I was really yearning for peace of mind most of my life, and I did find it. And I have great friendships. I'm very grateful to be alive. I'm not perfect, thank goodness, because I always tried to be perfect, and that's a waste of time. And I'm just a human being, and I'm an alcoholic, and I'm very grateful that I am. So thank you very much for listening to me.
Thank you, Patty. That was lovely. Thank you so much. I'll just translate this. خب میخوام حالا به همه شما به عنوان برای اتمام صحبتم به شما اینو بگم که چیزی رو که من استثنا نیستم. برای من در ابتدا اینطور بود که من فکر میکردم متفاوتم و با بقیه فرق دارم. اما بعد از رفتن به جلسات متعدد و دیدن شروع کردم به دیدن شباهت ها و این باعث شد که من تسلیم بشم به قدرتی که برتر از من بود. و میخوام به شما همین رو بگم، اگر تازه وارد هستید بگم که یک قدرتی برتر از شما، بالاتر از شما هست. شاید این گروه باشه یا شاید هر چیز دیگه ای، ولی به هر حال پیداش میکنید. اما اینو بدونید که اون قدرت شما نیستید، چون من این تجربه رو داشتم که خودم قدرت برتر خودم بودم و میدونم که کار نمیکنه. و اینکه اینجا جایی هست که من آرامش رو پیدا کردم، آرامشی که سالهای سال توی زندگیم دنبالش بودم و شکرگزارم برای این زندگی و اینکه خدا رو شکر من پرفکت و بدون نقص نیستم. و خوش ممنون که به من این فرصت رو دادید و همین دیگه. مرسی، من جلسه رو برمیگردونم به شما.
Thank you very much, Patty.
Thank you.
Beautiful, beautiful.
Thank you. Thank you. I know I was pretty serious. I do have a sense of humor. But it's just, you know, when I start talking about AA, it's serious. Yeah. Oh, it saved my life.
Of course.
You did good.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. Okay, have a wonderful day, everyone.
Thank you. Thank you very much. I see.
Okay, thank you. Okay, bye-bye.